Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is about sex. If you're faint-hearted or easily offended, you might not want to listen, but you should. Join me, Tracy Cox, and Kelsey Chittick as we share honest and real sex advice on this award-winning podcast.
Tracy is an international sex educator and author of lots of books about sex and relationships.
Kelsey is a podcaster, comedian, and author who is getting out of her comfort zone both in the bedroom and in these conversations.
Each week, we answer three anonymous sex and relationship questions sent in by you, our listeners. And nothing is off limits. Here's Sex Talk. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Sex Talk with Tracy Cox and me, Kelsey. Hope everybody is doing well over here in the States. We are getting ready for a long weekend of Thanksgiving. So I'm heading to Palm Springs for 24 hours to, I don't know, watch baseball tournaments and sit by a pool, hopefully.
Sounds great. Sit by a pool. Is it still hot there?
Actually, yesterday it was like 85 degrees in California, but it's November. God. Our summers are messed up. I think it's global warming. Mm. Whenever it's winter, it's hot. And when it's summer, it's cold. Confusing.
Crazy. So yeah. You get two Christmases, really, when you have Thanksgiving.
I think Thanksgiving is even a bigger holiday here in the States because you have basically the whole week. So everyone starts leaving today, which is Wednesday, and then you don't come back until next Monday.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So we'll see. The pilgrims.
It's better than Christmas.
I know. And there's no presents, which I love because presents get me exhausted.
Yeah, me too. I would be very happy to not have any presents to buy or receive.
Same. I actually try to ask my kids for that. Like, I just think it's too much. And be it with Amazon and everything, you just order everything. You keep ordering. You don't even know what you get anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I'm with you.
Let's transition right into sex. Why not?
You can buy my products on Amazon, by the way, if that's you want right. to. Be better to do it on the website, though. Love Honey. Much better to do it on there.
Yeah, that's what I need. But you already sent me a bag.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's start. These are actually great questions today. And I had somebody, a girlfriend of mine that I know, but I don't know very well. You know, but we talk. She's a friend of my friend's sister. And she wrote, thank you so much for explaining the difference between anal sex and anal play. And I was like, I'm here to serve, you know? Is this where I'm at in my life? And I was like, I love it.
Good.
Okay, here we go. First question. How do you have a cervical orgasm? I've heard Kelsey talk about it and I'm intrigued. How do you do it? It sounds quite full on and intense and I want to have one.
Well, who wrote in that question, I wonder? It was me. I wrote it in.
I can't believe you've never had one.
I have never had one. Probably, well, without getting too technical, probably because I don't know whether I've got a very big vaginal canal. Okay. I think I'm quite small. So I don't know. I think it's always a bit like, ow, ow.
No.
Sex is always a bit like that. But I want to know, so how did you discover it? I've done all the research into what the biological, how many people have them, so we could talk about that afterward. But how did you discover it?
So this is something I have talked about at length at dinner parties because I didn't even know about it. So a couple of years ago, I started dating a guy who had taken some class about sex. And basically he had said that, you know, he thought he was like a B+ in bed, but he really wanted to be like an A+. He was going through a divorce. And at some point he just wanted to become like more knowledgeable in bed and not just do the same things that they'd always done. So he took this class. And in doing that, she talks a lot about cervical orgasms. And so honestly, mm-hmm. what it is, or at least my experience of it is, I was always, you know, when I was married, it was always just the typical clitoris orgasm, mm-hmm. or you have a vibrator. But what this is much more, you are in a lot more control of it as the woman. So essentially how I explain it is, they use their whole hand almost, or like maybe two or three fingers, and they insert it in, and they're kind of cupping your vagina. So you are basically their hand is inside you and there's pressure on the top of your vagina, kind of on the front of it. And then they are as far in as they can be, and they're putting pressure inside on your cervix, kind of up almost towards your stomach.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
And then you are essentially thrusting against that hand. And there's a ton of pressure. So imagine he's really holding on to your vagina and you're really kind of rocking against it. And it's a long wave. It's a slow buildup and you are in control of it. So you are, he's holding it with, when I explain it to my girlfriends, it's like a hook, his whole hand's inside, or not whole hand, but however, and he's got pressure on the top of your vagina on the outside, like on the bone, and you are essentially thrusting, your knees are bent and you're thrusting up into that hand. And as you wait and go, it starts to climax. And then you have an orgasm, but it's not that one that you get normally where it's like high and then it's done. It feels like a wave. And you can do it again like 10 minutes later or
really?
5 minutes later. There's no recovery. Wow. There's no sensitivity because it's a full body experience as opposed to this one little thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And today I have officially become a sex therapist.
I think that's fantastic because I have never had one. I don't know why I've never had one, but they're quite, no one talks about them.
Yeah.
They really, I mean, I found out some brilliant research though. I mean, they're really not as common at all as clitoral, front vagina wall. No, you know, that people do it. Like I found a study in 1985 that was talking about cervical orgasms. And then there was another one a little bit later on, about 2000, 132 women, 46% said that cervical stimulation contributed to their orgasm. But how about this? This is fascinating. Now, one of the things they do with research with sex now is they take MRI images of the brain. And different areas of the brain light up. And that was where they found out that men's brain on orgasm completely lights up and women's brains shut down. It's so fascinating, all of that stuff. So a clitoral orgasm will light up a certain section of the brain, and the cervical stimulation lights up a completely different area. So that whole thing about it's got to be the clitoris as well. It's slightly stimulated, but not very much. And these nerve endings that you're stimulating are deep in the pelvic region.
Yes.
So that's why it feels like a full body orgasm, because it's the deep pelvic nerve endings that you're stimulating. That's why it feels so intense.
And I will say when I was having one of those, or when we did that, which was often throughout the time we were having sex, like it would be, we could have sex for a long time, like 2 or 3 hours. And because you never feel that come down that you do from a clitoris orgasm. Clitoral, it's not that like, don't touch me. It's actually like you need like a small break. And what's the best if the man goes like, let's keep going. And you kind of at first are like, I don't want it. But then you do, because you don't have that, you don't have that sensitivity. There's nothing sensitive about it afterwards. The other thing is it rolls, like it's like a wave and you're in control. The woman is in control, as opposed to everything else that we do in bed when they're giving us orgasms, where we're hoping their pressure is right. We're hoping that their timing is right. We're hoping that they stay in the right spot. This is not this. He's just holding on and you are basically riding that hand for however you want it to feel.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah. And the more pressure you put, the closer you get. And then it's over, but you're like, I could do it again. The other thing I realized during this is, and you know, I felt like I almost was on drugs. Like it felt like I was like out of body. It feels like much less, you're kind of in your own world. And I remember, you know, a couple of times him being like, you are like gone, you're gone. Almost like you're just out in outer space, because you are, it's a different experience in your head. It's bigger. It's like, it's wider. It changed my life. I mean, I'm not lying. It changed my life.
I think it sounds amazing. Can I just say a few things before everybody rushes out, stops the podcast and rushes out to try this?
Sure.
Is that it's a bit of a Marmite orgasm. Do you know what a Marmite orgasm is? You love it or you absolutely hate it. And the reason why is because I didn't know this, but every vagina has a unique tilt.
Yes.
And every cervix has a unique tilt. So you've got to, depending on how your vagina and cervix tilt, it will either feel mind-blowingly fantastic or really uncomfortable and painful.
Interesting.
And this is probably why I haven't ever gone there, is because I have, whatever is going on with my cervix, is it's very, if it's hit during intercourse, it's like, ow, I'm shot through the roof. So I don't think for me it would probably be a good experience. I mean, I'd give it a try, but I think, and it was very much, it depends on how your unique makeup of your vaginal, you know, anatomy is. Yeah. So if anyone wants to try it, just first of all, you've got to be fully aroused. That was certainly something that I kept reading over and over again. And just to find the cervix, it feels like, if you imagine the tip of your nose, it's like a soft bulbous thing with a sort of firm center. And yeah. There's no opening. You can't penetrate the cervix because it's just a little thing that you're stimulating. It's almost like the front wall of the vagina, what you imagine the G-spot to be like. So it's not, you can't put your finger in it or anything. So it's just a little section that exactly what you're describing, right at the end of the vagina. Some women have trouble reaching it because when you get aroused, your vagina elongates and pushes the cervix out of the way, because for lots of people, you don't want to be hit on the cervix. So you can need a toy or a very long penis to hit it. Hands. How to do it yourself? Could you do it yourself?
No, you couldn't. And you wouldn't want to, I don't think. There's something about the rocking motion. The only thing that, from my experience, I don't remember it being so much about hitting the cervix. I felt like mine was more, and so just so I can give you the visual, you're on, the woman's on her back, knees up, legs open. The man is laying next to you, like on the side of you. Maybe one arm is behind your shoulders, and then he is between your legs with one hand. And so then you are actually thrusting upward into his hand. So what for me, the real, what it felt like more orgasm came from was from almost this outside of my vagina, the whole thing, like the pressure on it. It wasn't so much up inside of me, although he was hitting that. It felt like it was under my control at the front of my vagina.
I wonder whether a lot of that was front wall stimulation, probably a little bit of both. You're probably doing the cervix and the front wall at the same time.
The front wall is what if I can visualize what felt great for me, that was it. I don't remember something internally until you would have an orgasm that kind of felt like a big wave that went all over. What is amazing?
It's a combination. I think you're having a combination.
Yeah.
Orgasm,
and you can do
front
it.
Front wall and cervical.
Yeah. We could do it like 3 or 4 times in a night. And
that would be true. The clitoris is the disappointing orgasm, because once you have it once, you're really... I love clitoral orgasms, but you're over. The minute it's over, it's like, right, off we go, have a cup of coffee or...
and they're very intense. Over. You feel exhausted after a clitoris, you know, like it just feels... Clitoris? Clitoris.
Clitoral.
Whatever orgasm. It is. Whatever that thing is. but I mean, I was right when I first started doing this, I came out of the gates hot at dinner parties and I'd be like, ladies, pay attention over here.
And did any of them do it? Did any of them try it?
I think some of them did. I mean, you really do need a man that knows what he's doing, but I think you can teach him. You just need to, you can look it up. There's some people on Instagram that really talk about this a lot, but I mean, it changed my entire way of enjoying sex, because I never loved that kind of quick in and out. Zzz, that was never my thing. I really want a connection. I want music. I want obviously dark. I don't want a quickie. I don't want a quickie. Mm. I never did. It doesn't fulfill me. So this felt like the right thing for me to kind of sit around for a while and really go slow and enjoy. So try it. If you have any other questions about it, obviously, I'm your girl.
And just a few other little, just make sure you're fully aroused. And some women do report they get cramping if there's too much, if somebody goes too quickly and too much into it. And it can be easily bruised, the cervix. So if you are aiming more for the cervix rather than front wall, just be a bit careful. And also because it's so deep and a lot of women aren't used to it, I do think you should ask permission before you sort of dive straight in there. Did the guy do that with you? Did he say, can I try this thing?
He was very like, this is what we're going to do. He was very good at educating and taking our time. And honestly, the more you talk about this, I think mine was more front wall, because if I can think where the pressure was for me, I don't ever remember feeling like his whole hand was inside of me. I mean, I do remember, but he was almost hooking on my pubic bone with his hand.
Yeah, no, I get it completely what you mean. I think it's a little bit of both. I think you're doing both, but more front wall.
Yeah. I'm a front wall girl.
She's a front wall girl, not a cervical girl, a front wall girl.
Makes me want to meet someone on a date.
makes me want to go and meet someone.
Can't wait to meet someone.
I do have someone. He's not here at the moment.
Miles, good luck, buddy. You've got a job to do.
Get those fingers elongated.
Totally.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Okay, next question. I'm a 36-year-old straight woman and feel like I'm a boring lover. How can I be wilder in bed? I've done all the usual things, oral sex, different intercourse positions, hand jobs, BJs, but nothing beyond that. I don't even know what else there is to do. I'm so vanilla. Can you give me some ideas on what to try and how to get over the embarrassment I feel when trying out new things?
Yes, we can. We can.
It starts with dark. Just kidding.
I mean, look, if you want a list of things to do, just type in to a Google search, sex bucket list. That will give you a list of things to do. But I think that being a wild, adventurous, exploratory lover is all about attitude. So my points are more about if you approach sex a certain way, you will be seen as wild and you will become wilder and more uninhibited, which is what you're aiming for. So the first thing I think is be in the moment. Everybody has a tendency to close their eyes and drift off and fantasize, which is great for some things. But if you keep your eyes open, if you watch what they're doing to you, look at their body, just watch everything, you are seen as a very confident lover, because lots of people don't do this, right? It just instantly elevates you. Not being body conscious is a great thing. That's the biggest gift you can give anyone. I think dress the part. I think being naked is very boring. I think you should leave something on. And, you know, there's so many things you could do. You could try the sexy white singlet. You could try blatant, obvious sexual, you know, stuff like red underwear, yuck, things like that, yuck, yuck. You could do virginal looks. You could do, but just don't go to bed completely naked. I think that's something that we need to look at. And the biggest thing you could do during sex to shock people is to talk. Most people don't talk during sex. Yeah. So if you're with someone new, even saying, wow, that's it, like, oh, God's probably not going to do much. But if you say, wow, you're amazing, people are like, oh, very few people talk during sex. If you say something like, I want you to lick me, that's even better. People are like, wow, that is amazing. Seriously, the simplest thing.
No, I didn't talk much. At some point, he was like, you can talk. He's like, you can say some things. And I was like, I'm in another world. I don't have time to talk.
Yeah, you're not even here.
I'm in the solar system.
I reckon everyone's left the podcast anyway. They're out practicing the orgasm. I also think that I love power games. And I think they work really well. And power games are things like pretending you're sex slaves or tying people up and things like that. And everybody tying people up, like doing a little bit of bondage, is the most successful thing that you can do. It's the one thing that when most people try it, most people like it. It's the one, you know, fantasy that does seem to go through. And when it doesn't work, is if you've gone, it's the whole point of power play is to reverse it. So if you're bossy bitch and your partner's quite submissive, you tying him up is not going to be any fun at all, because you're just doing what you're doing out of bed. So you have to reverse whatever's happening in real life. I think if you have no shame, it really gets people really aroused. Like, take his hand, put it on your breast, put it between your legs, you know, like openly showing that you want someone, I think is super, super sexy. Taking sex out of the bedroom instantly gives you points, you know, sex on the washing machine, sex on the kitchen bench, you know, set bench, sex on the dining room table. And I think if you give somebody massive compliments at the end of a sex session, seriously, if you had like pretty so-so sex and then you both finish, and then you say to the guy or girl, whoever you're sleeping with, that was absolutely amazing. Then they think, God, that was absolutely amazing. We just had the best sex ever. It's like, as we've talked about, if you go on a date and you end up talking, you come back, you know, talking the whole time, you come back and you think, that guy's amazing. And it's, he's not. He just, you talk the whole night. So it's the same sort of scenario. So that would be the things that I would focus on rather than, oh, let's tick off this list of having sex in a public place and, you know, all that sort of stuff. What do you think?
No, you're right on. I would have said, I would not have said any of that stuff that you said, and it's all right. Yeah, I do think it's a mindset, and I think it's a willingness to try new things with bravery. I think everything in life is about courage, even in bed, like being like, can I get over whatever I'm thinking and feeling and worried about, and can I just go for it?
Oh, the embarrassment bit.
Yeah.
And also it's practice. Like if you said to most people, right, you have to give a speech in front of 1,000 people tomorrow, they'd shit themselves. They would. But if you did it every single day for a month, you wouldn't have any qualms at all. So just do it. Just do it. And the more times you practice being wild, the wilder you'll be.
Yeah. And I think too, like for most of my life, I thought I wasn't into sex. And that was kind of my mantra. And that's what I told everybody. And I was like, I'm not that into sex. My husband was, whatever. And the truth is, you can change your identity at any minute. I've definitely changed mine in the bedroom. And I never would have thought I would be doing what I'm doing or wanting what I want. And it was just a change. I mean, I had, you know, sometimes big events cause those changes, but you can do it just deciding. Today, I'm no longer going to walk around the world saying I don't like sex and I'm bored by it. And you just go like, act as if, right? That's what they say in AA.
Yep.
Like act so before you are.
I absolutely, totally agree with that. I really, really do. And I think also she should think about who are you going to be wild with? Because some Kelsey and I think we both said we're probably more likely to have wild sex with a stranger than we would. But other people say, oh, I want to have the wild sex once I'm with somebody that I trust. So which scenario do you want to go down? Do you want to do it with a stranger or do you want to trust it? And also, I say this all the time, which seems to me like really obvious advice, but then people don't seem to do it, which is take baby steps. Like, if you want to do a tie-up thing, you don't just suddenly walk, having done nothing like that, you don't just walk in with whips and bloody chains or something. You give a little bit of a hint that this might be something you like. You might put your partner's arms up above their head and sort of hold them there or ask them to do it to you and give some kind of hint. Like if you want to strip for your partner, just stand there before you take all your clothes off and catch their eye and then do it slowly and deliberately with eye contact. See how that goes. Like try something little before launching in, because that's when it all goes horribly wrong. If you suddenly are quite vanilla, as she says, and then you turn up, you know, with this, I don't know, role play costume of a French maid, they are going to laugh. Yeah. Yes, they're going to laugh. And if something happens and they do laugh, just laugh with them. That's how you get out of that one.
And it's too, you want to go baby steps, because if not, it's too much of a stretch. You're like, whoa, girl.
Yeah.
Last I know, I don't even know who you are. So, all right. Okay.
Exactly.
Last question. I enjoy sex with my girlfriend, but I don't like to lie and cuddle afterwards. It's not that I don't love her. I just feel irritable and anxious after I've had an orgasm. I'm not sure why. I've asked my male friends and it doesn't happen to them.
Do you ever get like that?
I don't, but I know some guys that when they're done, they're done. Like they need a minute afterwards. That's kind of how I feel about clitoral orgasms. Like you need a minute after you have one of those because it's such a big rush. And that's why I don't love them as much until the very end. Like I want that to be the very, very, very end of our session, because if you do that too soon, it's over, especially for a guy.
Especially if you do shortcuts. Like, I mean, in my relationship, we both know each other's shortcuts. We could bring each other to orgasm within about 2 minutes.
Right.
And then it's all over. But you think this is a male thing? I thought it might be a bit of a male thing, but it turns out that it's not. I mean, the one thing that does differ between the sexes is that men definitely release sleep hormone after orgasm and women don't. Probably to do with that, you know, the old simplistic thing that, you know, men are there to repopulate. No, that doesn't even make sense, does it? They should be getting up out of bed and running off to repopulate.
It's just typical that a man would need a nap.
But there is a name for this. It's called postcoital, I never say coital, dysphoria, which means feeling sad, anxious, or irritated in the moments after an orgasm. But that's what it used to be called. And then there was a big study done in 2022. Why would they spend all the money? There's so many areas of sex research that need doing, and they put all their money into this. Anyway, big study, 2022, where they changed the name to postcoital symptoms to normalize it because it turns out to be so common. In this study, 223 women, 76 men, 95% of the people said they experienced feelings including mood swings, low energy, disconnection, and even more interesting, 47% said it happened after masturbation as well. So it wasn't even just partnered sex. It's never happened to me.
I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, it makes sense to me. I don't think I feel that way, but I do. There is a, it's almost like when you've done drugs or you do MDMA or some big night and then you come off of it and there's a drop.
Yeah, the come down. Yeah.
The come down, yeah, I think is very similar to, because I do think if you have a great orgasm and you have all those endorphins fly out and it's this moment that's just ecstasy, you do have a bit afterwards where your chemicals are off. And so you're like.
But they hang around for a little bit. They don't just.
They do, but I do think a lot of people don't want to be touched right after because they.
Mm. Oh, genitally, they don't know.
Yeah, no. Maybe just in general. Maybe you're just kind of all. I don't think it's weird that he's that way. I think it's something to work on.
Mm. And also, I think some people withdraw from sex because if you're there, and also is an indication of a relationship, because if you're there just for the sex, you're not going to hang around for the cuddle because it sends the wrong message.
Right.
And I wonder with this guy, he says, I love my girlfriend, so it's not that. But I wonder about how his intimacy is the rest of the time, because it could be an attachment style thing.
True.
So it could be that, in fact, he's thinking he's being intimate with his girlfriend, but sex, that moment after sex is an extremely intimate moment. So if he's avoiding it, it could be that he's got intimacy issues generally. But if he's fine apart from that, then it's just hormone-based. And as Kelsey said, it's a big come down after a big rush of you know, emotion and hormones, hormone overload.
Yeah.
So I think if he just says to her, look, turns out this is a bit of a thing. I'm not abnormal. Does it bother you? Mm-hmm. And if it does, then you have to come up with some kind of compromise. I mean, maybe you just take a walk for a couple of minutes and maybe just getting up and going to the loo might get rid of it. Maybe you can grit your teeth and just give her a cuddle for a few minutes anyway. So yeah, it's an interesting question, actually, because no one talks about this very much, but clearly more common than I expected.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of people just need a minute afterwards and just tell her that. And then I would just cuddle on the front end, fill her tank up on the beginning. And then when it's over, everybody kind of goes to the bathroom, gets changed, and you guys can go have breakfast. But I think as long as she knows it doesn't have anything to do with her, or yeah, sex, yeah. It just has to do with, it's a come down for me and I need a second. I'm overtouched, I'm overstimulated, and all the endorphins kind of dropped out. So when you want to do more or cuddle more, it makes him be like, ugh, I don't know. Cuddle on the front end.
Do you cuddle afterwards? I don't know whether I do.
Sometimes no, I do. Normally we like get up and go.
Yeah, me too.
I have nothing. I've seen enough of you and done enough of you. Let's move on to our regular programming of our regular life. Yeah, no, I don't. Afterwards, I don't need to like relive it. I'm like,
no, I think dressed. In the beginning you do, don't you? In the beginning, you sort of sit there and yes, I'm amazing and you're amazing. And
but I think if it was a great sex experience, you're like, that shit was awesome. Let's roll on into the day. Like, you're like, you got energy. You're like, let's do it. You got a glow. Mm. You're like, we don't got time to cuddle. We got to take the world down. We just had a cervical orgasm.
Yes, we're all for front end, whichever one sounds like a car, doesn't it? Cervical front end. Yeah, we're all going to go home and practice and report back, please. So please, everybody who's tried this, come in and write in. So yeah, you described it really well, though.
Good.
Good description.
Glad I don't have to do a video tutorial. I'm not there yet. Okay.
Oh, dear God.
Thank you, guys. If you're in the States, hope you have a great Thanksgiving. Everywhere else, have a wonderful week, and we will see you soon.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Sex Talk. If you'd like your question answered on the show, send it to us at sextalkpod.com. So that's sextokpod.com. You'll find info about my books, sex products, and more sex advice at tracycox.com. And that's Tracy with an E. If you like this podcast, please send it to your friends and rate and review wherever you listen to your podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.